1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36, if you found it, please stand for the reading of the Word of God. I'll be transparent with you, because I know some had visited that service. The Lord gave us this Word, for we were in tent meeting this week, and we preached this Word on Tuesday night, and as I knew that I was preaching this morning, and that pastor had already scheduled it, and praying and seeking the face of the Lord, God said to bring it to the family here at Judah. Now, I wrestled with the Lord on it, because some of Judah's family was there. Some had watched online. So if you were there, you're just going to get a repeat. Amen. Maybe the Lord just wants you to hear it twice. Amen. If you wasn't there, I believe the Lord is wanting you to be blessed by it. But I could not shake it. I could not get rid of, amen, this thought in my mind as I pray for today's service. So I just want to be obedient to the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 36. If you found it, shout, amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Come
on. And consumed the burnt offering.
Right.
And sacrifice. And the wood and the stones. And the dust. And lifted up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw that, they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, he is the God.
Yes.
The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elisha brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Hallelujah. Can you give the Lord a your social media? Wait. And it's not, amen, the case that sometimes when we come into the presence of the Lord and we reach out to heaven, sometimes it's not the case that we receive an instant answer from the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
Oftentimes we find ourselves in a waiting season.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, amen, we are waiting. And what is an indicator, amen, that we need to know is that even though we don't hear anything, it doesn't mean heaven wasn't listening.
Yeah.
And even though our response is not manifested instantaneously, amen, it doesn't mean that God has not heard our cry. Just because there's a delay doesn't mean there's been a denial. Amen, but sometimes we just have to wait. Sometimes we have to wait on the response or the manifestation. And I believe the Lord has sent me here this morning to tell somebody, hold on, heaven's getting ready to send you the answer. Hold on, the response is on the way. If you believe that's for you, you can give God praise for it.
Hallelujah.
Because sometimes we get into that waiting season. And how many knows that sometimes we're just not very patient at all?
Yeah.
It's something I have to work on. I've said it here before in preaching. We live in a society where everything's so instant. Amen. Instant coffee. You don't even have to wait on coffee anymore. You get it in 2.5 seconds. Amen. If you're like me and you can't just drink one cup, you have to wait 2 or 3 minutes until you brew a whole pot. Hallelujah. Amen. But we have to wait. We're always in a hurry. We always want it now. Amen. We always need it now. But sometimes good things are worth waiting on.
Yeah,
and I want to remind somebody that Isaiah 40 and 31 says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Yes.
They shall mount up with wings as eagles.
Yes.
They shall run and not be weary.
Come on.
They shall walk and not faint. Yes. And I'll be honest with you, Judah Tabernacle family. I believe as a community and a family and as a corporate body, we have been in the waiting season for a very long time. Not only personally, but spiritually and corporately. We have been waiting for the promises of the Lord and to the responses of heaven to be released. But can I remind you that we are not waiting on God, we're waiting in God. Because the word waiting in Hebrew means to bind by twisting. It means to collect or to expect. I want you to notice the difference in waiting on God and waiting in God. Because when I'm waiting in God, I'm wrapped up, tied up, tangled all up in Jesus. Which means when I'm waiting in God, I know it's coming even though I don't see it. I know it's coming even though I don't hear it. Even though I feel like nothing is happening all around me. It's like the servant that the prophet sent out and said, "Tell me what you see." And he said, "I don't see anything." But when he went the seventh time, he said, "Now I see a cloud the size of a man's hand." And the prophet seen in faith, for faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I've got to see the response even though I don't feel it. I've got to see the response even though vision, amen, is not in the physical seeing the way that it should be seeing and hearing the way that it should be hearing. I've got to know that I'm not waiting on my own strength. I'm not waiting on my own intellect. I'm not waiting on my own self. I'm not waiting trying to be patient on myself. But I'm waiting in Jesus that says, if it doesn't happen today, I'm going to praise you anyhow because it can happen tomorrow. And if it doesn't happen tomorrow, I'm going to praise you anyhow because you're good for it and you're able to move. Amen? That's why Galatians 6 and 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not."
Yes. Amen.
Uh-huh. Do not grow weary. Look at somebody and say, weary.
Weary.
The word weary here in the Greek means to be weak, to be feeling worthless, or to fail in heart. Uh-huh. He said, do not be weary in well-doing, which means do not grow weak, do not fail in heart or feel worthless in well-doing, meaning while you're doing my work. How many knows even when you're doing ministry sometimes it can, when you're doing all that you know to do, and you're standing and you're faithful, God's saying, do not grow weary, do not faint, amen. If you faint not, it means to relax. In the Greek, it means to loosen or to dissolve or to put off. What God is saying, do not relax, amen, in your commitment. Do not relax in your dedication. Do not relax in your faith. Do not relax in your expectation and anticipation. But on the contrary, rejoice. Can I remind you that the reason why, I don't know about you, but I believe the reason why all of us, and I'm saying all of us, because I know all of us are dealing with something, amen, when it comes to spiritual warfare, whether it's mentally or physically or emotionally or financially or, amen, with relationships. You know why we're facing it? Because the enemy knows that his time is just about up. And the enemy has heard the prophecies. And the enemy has heard the promises. And the enemy was there when the Lord said he was going to move on your behalf. And the enemy was there when the Lord said the prodigal is coming home. And the enemy knows, amen, that if he can wear you out, amen, that he can cause you to doubt and to struggle. That's why Daniel said in Daniel 7 and 25, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High." You see, it's the job of the enemy to wear us out before the answer comes. It's the job of the enemy to attack our mind and to attack our spirit. And listen, we're human beings. We struggle, okay? We all struggle. We all get up in the morning sometimes and just don't feel it. We all get up in the morning sometimes and, amen, feel like that we've gotten off on the wrong side of the bed. We all allow emotions and, amen, all circumstances to overtake us. But what we've got to realize is we cannot be faint in heart. God didn't call us to be weak. We are not worthless. We are worthy. Do you know what worthy means? It means that he, amen, was, you are worth it. You are worth going to the cross for. You are worth paying the price for. You're worth the blessing to come down. You're not worthless. You're worthy. And we cannot loosen. We cannot break up. We cannot dissolve. I'll tell you, I've had a burden for the past month and a half for the people of God. I want to tell you that the calls have increased. Amen. When it comes to pastors and ministers who have reached out to Trish and I for prayer. Amen. And I'm telling you, everywhere, churches that are a threat to the kingdom of the enemy is doing everything that he can. Families, amen, who are a threat to the enemy is doing everything that he can to try to cause them to loosen their commitment, to walk away and to be relaxed. Amen. To put off what God has said and to throw it to the wayside like it's not going to happen. But I've come to serve notice on the enemy today. Not to challenge him, but to tell him what the Word of God says. We're not going to grow weary. We are not going to faint, because our reaping season is just around the corner. Heaven is getting ready to see that. I wish I had somebody on a Sunday morning that says, I'm about ready to reap. My storage is ready. I'm ready to receive an abundance, because he's not a God that's just going to cause me to survive one moment to the next. But he's a God that says, I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed when I come in. I'm blessed when I go out. Look at somebody and say, increase is on the way. The answer's coming. The answer's coming. And even though warfare has increased, listen, I'm here to testify to you, it has increased. Amen. Even though we get tired, anybody get tired lately in the spirit? Confession's good for the soul. How many felt like this morning when you woke up that you would rather worship St. Mattress today? Come on. Let's just be honest. You felt like Shadrach, Meshach, and back to bed I go. And for circumstances beyond their control, some can't come. Amen. But isn't it something that every time you're about ready to get the biggest breakthrough of your life, the enemy just increases?
Oh, yeah.
And you know you're supposed to be here when he does everything in his power to keep you from getting here. But here's the reality. You made it. Here's the reality. You got here. It may have been a struggle to get here. I'll be honest with you. My morning was chaotic. Amen. I didn't go to bed until after 2 o'clock this morning. My morning, amen, was not smooth. It did not go the way that I wanted it to. I'm a very routine person. My routine was messed up today. But I came into this house of worship this morning to tell you I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be upon my mouth. I didn't come in here because it's the thing that I do. I didn't come in here this morning because that's what I do on Sunday morning. But I came in here with a mission from heaven to tell my family to be encouraged. God's about ready to show up. God's about ready to move on our behalf. Oh, I need one or two people. Let it be one or two come into agreement. Let it be established today. Hallelujah. Heaven's getting ready to do something for us. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. You see, it's his enemy, it's his job to wear us out. Pastor said before, you gotta outlast the devil.
Yep, amen.
You gotta tell him, not today.
Right, not any day.
No. Not today.
Not today.
Amen. You need to look at the devil and say, I'm not the one. Anybody ever say that? I'm not the one today. You might as well move on. Spirit of weariness, you might as well move on. Spirit of anxiety, you might as well move on. Spirit of fear, you might as well move on. Spirit of doubt, you might as well move on. I'm about ready to step into a season of reaping. I'm about ready to step into a season where the windows of heaven are going to open, and God's going to promise, and God's going to fulfill his word. I wish there were some mamas and daddies this morning that said, I'm praising him because my prodigal's coming home. They may be in the pit again right now. They may be, amen, right among the folds. But I'm telling you, God's going to shake them. God's going to move upon them. And they're going to say, it's better to go back to the Father's house. Amen. Heaven's getting ready to respond. Amen. Look at somebody and say, get ready, get ready, get ready.
Get ready, get ready.
Hallelujah. God's getting ready to do what he said he's going to do. Yeah, we're living in troubled times. This is a Christian who's right on the money. We're living in troubled times. We're living in times where it's easy to be perplexed. We're living in times, amen, where things are increasing globally and politically and internationally. But I'm telling you, these are the greatest times in the Spirit. Because God promised us that when we see these things, look up. For our redemption draweth nigh. Let me remind you that before Jesus comes, He promised through the prophet Joel that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. I'm telling you, I know I've not been here. I've been on the field. I've probably been on the field a lot more than physically I wanted to be. Amen. But God put us on the field. Amen. Just in these few months. But I'm telling you, we see an increase in salvation. We see an increase in deliverance. We see an increase in supernatural miracles. I can report to you that I've seen God heal deaf ears. How to give God praise for it. I can report to you people are getting filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm here to report to you demons are still being cast out of people. Heaven is lined up and in position for an outpouring on America like we never had before.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Somebody say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Pour it on me, Lord.
Pour it on me.
Uh-huh. Pour it on me, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You see, because it reminds me, when you talk about heaven's response, of a scripture that I read to you in chapter 18. Elijah, the prophet of God, comes on the scene in verse 17. When Ahab sees Elijah, this is what he says, Sister Sharon. He looks at him and says, are you the one that's troubling Israel? Are you the one that's causing all of this chaos? And Elijah the prophet looks at his sister Joanna and says, nope, it's you that troubles Israel. You and your fathers for not obeying the commandment of the Lord.
Come on.
Let me pause and give you this commercial. When was the last time the enemy looked at us and said, you trouble me? When's the last time the enemy was disturbed because you were up? When's the last time he wished that you hit your snooze button 15 times before you got out of bed? Let me remind you, when an anointing and oil is on your life, the enemy knows it. You don't have to recognize it. Amen. As far as you don't have to tell people they have to recognize it, you don't have to promote it, you don't have to tweet it, you don't have to Facebook it and all that other stuff. Amen. You don't have to tell anybody. But when a true child of God is in covenant with the Lord, and there is an anointing on their life, you don't even have to go looking for the devil. He'll find you. He'll find you. And I'm wondering if it can get to the place again that when the enemy hears our armor rattle in the morning, he says, I wish I kept Sister Lori in bed today. I wish, amen, that I kept them from coming to church. I wish, amen, I kept Judas praise team from singing those songs today. I wish, amen, but can I tell you we're here today and we're victorious. And it's time that they, amen, it's time that he quits troubling us. But it's time that we cause trouble in the kingdom of the enemy. Anybody want to be a troublemaker for the devil? I don't mean challenging. Amen. But I'm saying to tell him, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
The devil.
Amen. Here they are. They're wondering, who's God, Baal or Jehovah? And here's what Elijah said. Why halt you between two opinions? This is not debatable. Why do you have two opinions? Let the God that answers by what?
Fire.
Let the God that answers by fire, let him be the true God. So here's the challenge.
Nobody else.
Get you a sacrifice. Pray to your God. And we'll see if your God listens. And the light, and this is Matthew Lester's commentary. This is my own terminology. Elijah looked at it and said, and I'll be a gentleman and you boys go first. Let's see if your God will answer first. And the Bible said that the Baal's prophets did all that they could. That they did, amen. They had the sacrifice, they had the wood, they had all of that. The Bible said they cut themselves. The Bible said that they did all fleshly things. And there was no response. And what did Elijah do? He made fun of them.
Yeah.
Is your God on vacation? In our terminology, is he asleep? Why is he not answering you?
In the bathroom?
In our modern amen age, is your God not on Facebook today? What's going on? Is your God not able to text you back? Is he not online? And there was no response. Can I pause to tell you that our fleshly means will not produce fire?
You better know it.
Come on.
See,
help me, Jesus.
Because
it's not done by anything that we can do on our own.
Right.
We can't, amen, we can't sing good enough, we can't preach.
Right.
You hear me?
Yeah.
It's all because of the anointing that makes the difference.
Yeah.
And there's a whole lot of folks that tries to stir it up in the flesh, and there's no result.
Yeah.
Because there's no response.
Yeah.
But there's some people that says, I can't do it on my own, but the Spirit can. The Spirit can. Here's what I love. Amen. This is the meat of the message. Amen. I gave you the appetizer and the salad and the soup. Now we're going to get into the main course. Amen. And then you'll get a little dessert before it's over. Hallelujah. But here's the main course. Elijah said, here's what we need to do. The Bible said he took 12 stones first. And the Bible said he repaired the altar of the Lord.
That's what you do, see.
What is the altar? The altar is a meeting place.
Yeah.
But can I tell you that the word altar in Hebrew means a place of slaughter?
Okay.
It's not only a beautiful place, but Sister Angie, it's a place where things are cut from us, where things are killed, where things have to die. But before the Lord could even respond, there had to be a meeting place. There had to be an altar. The Lord has dealt with me and he said, my people have rebuilt the altar again. And they're finding importance with having a meeting place with me on an everyday basis. How many says, I've got an altar at home? I'm talking about it in the spirit. Amen. Your altar may be a chair. It may be your couch. It may, amen. You may have, I've seen people that have little prayer closets. They go in their closet. Amen. They have a war room. Amen. And I thank God, amen, for the time that we can go in into his presence. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, my people are rebuilding an altar. What had happened? The Bible said the first act of Ahab and Jezebel was they destroyed the altars of God. They tore it down, so there was no longer a meeting place between God and his people because they took that out. But can I tell you that there's some people that says, we're hungry now. We don't need entertainment. We don't need an amen. We don't need a speech. We don't need motivation. We don't need pats on the back. We're not here just to socialize, but we're here because we need to hear from God. We need an answer from heaven. My family is desperate. I'm desperate. My neighbor is desperate. I need a healing. I need deliverance. I need help. I'm not playing around anymore. But God, if I don't hear from you, then I don't know what I'm going to do. And we've rebuilt the altar of God again. Amen. So that we can meet with the Lord. But here's the second thing. The Bible says, amen, that not only did he rebuild the altar, but he got the sacrifice. You see, what do we need to rebuild the altar? 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, very familiar. It's my people. Are you his people? Which are called by my name. Have you been called by the name? Shall humble themselves. Pray. Not only pray, but seek. Not seek his hand, but seek his face. And when we pray and seek, we've got to turn. Go the other direction. From our wicked ways, our carnal seeing and thinking. What did God say? He said, if you do that, here's how I'm going to respond. Then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. Anybody need forgiveness? I do every day. And heal their land.
Amen.
That's how we rebuild the altar again. We begin to humble ourselves. We begin to pray and seek his face. We begin to turn away from, amen, the things of this world. He built, amen, that altar using 12 stones. He also built a trench. And the word tells us in verse 33 that he added the wood and the sacrifice. Let me ask you this morning, who is the sacrifice? Yeah. Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let me remind you, the sacrifice doesn't have a say-so in it. The sacrifice can't look and say, I just don't feel like it today. But every day I'm learning, Sister Mandy Norman, that I've got to yield myself. The Bible says, yield ye not your members unto as instruments of unrighteousness. I'm learning every day that I've got to yield my mind, my heart, my emotions, every sense, my hearing, my seeing, my speaking, what I've got to yield it down. And what I've learned, amen. Last Sunday we were blessed to be in West Union, Ohio, amen, preaching a service, amen, for Pastor Sandlin. And he invited us into the office to talk before service started. And he said something to me that I had never thought about before. And I thought, man, that's good. And I'm going to steal it. Amen. So I'm going to steal it this morning and tell you what he said. But he looked at us that were in the office with him, and this is what he said. He said, when it comes to healing, he's got a testimony of how God has healed him. He said, when it comes to healing, he said, it's not your flesh that's in charge, it's your spirit. And he said, the original design of man was that God wanted the spirit to rule the flesh, not the flesh to rule the spirit. And in the spirit, you're already healed. And in the spirit, you're already free. And in the spirit, you're already blessed. He said, so what you've got to do is you've got to come before the Lord every day, crucify your flesh, and tell your spirit to take the wheel. And if you tell your spirit to take the wheel, then you are led and guided, and you don't walk in the flesh, but you walk in the spirit. And what happens is every footstep of a good man has been ordered by the Lord. When I give the spirit control, I can walk in healing. When I give the spirit control, I can walk in peace. When I give the spirit control, I can walk in knowing that whatever I need for that day, the spirit already stepped into my tomorrow. Hallelujah. And he's already making a way where there seems to be no way. Because here's what I realize. The sacrifice, it's not about the sacrifice. So it's not about me. It's not about my agenda. It's not about how I feel. I'm not anointed, amen, for me. You're not anointed for you.
Come on now.
Let's just, amen, use it because we had spotlight this morning. But Sister Angie and those volunteers that go out, they don't serve meals for them. They don't do it because of them. They do it because of the world. They're not anointed to do it because of them. But they're anointed because there's some folk out there that need it. Pantry don't run because of us so that we can say we've got a wonderful food pantry. No. Pantry runs because they need it. You're not anointed for you. You're not anointed for you. You're not anointed so that we can say, ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm going to shout today. No. We're anointed because we're going to come across somebody that needs deliverance. We're anointed because Isaiah said it's the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. Not breaks it, but destroys it. Amen. Into smithereens. I'm anointed. You're anointed. Because there's somebody that needs help in this world today. And I'm thankful. Amen. I said, God, just let me be a small part of what you're doing. It's not about me. I seen a Facebook post not too long ago, and man, it just resonated with me. It said, forget the title, just give me the towel. It's not about a title. It's not about position where I can go in the kingdom. But it's about, amen, God, where can I serve? Who needs you today? Who needs Jesus today? Who needs it? It might be the person that's trying to check you out. Amen. at the grocery store. It might be the person that's waiting on you at the restaurant that probably doesn't have the best of attitude because they're not having a good day, and you got to look at them in grace. It's probably, amen, that family member that you want to ignore their calls and texts because they're driving you crazy. But you think to yourself, it ain't about me. It ain't about me. But yet we sit here, and Elijah did, we sit here whining, complaining, and say, God, I'm the only one you got. He did. God, I've never been. God, blah, blah, blah. And we just, woe is me. Mm-hmm. When I realized, wake up, man. It's not about you. It's about a harvest. Mm-hmm. It's not about us. It's not about doctrine. It's not about man's theology and interpretation. It's not about denomination. The Lord spoke to me about 4 weeks ago. I called Pastor Dunn. Amen. I said, tell me I'm hearing right. Amen. I just wanted by the man of God. I said, tell me I'm hearing right. And then here's what the Lord spoke to me, Sister Lori, so plain. He said, Pentecost is not a label. He said, Pentecost is not a denomination. He said, Pentecost is not a man of name. He said, Pentecost is an encounter. Amen. So I'll be honest with you. Somebody don't think I'm crazy. But I'll be honest with you. The Lord changed me. So folks say, well, what kind of church you go to? I don't say Pentecostal anymore. I say full gospel. I said, we believe it from cover to cover. But we believe in the power of Pentecost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is that all right?
It's all right with me.
Because what I realize is it's not about a name. It's about an encounter.
You better know it.
Hallelujah. It's about me being a sacrifice. Look at somebody and say, you look like a good sacrifice today. Hallelujah. You look like a good sacrifice today. The Bible tells us, amen, that this is what he did. He told them to build the trench. I never noticed it until I seen it the other day. But the Bible says, we always think that he poured the water in the trench, but that's not so. The Bible said that he poured the water on the altar, on the sacrifice, and it ran down into the trench. Which means the sacrifice, Brother Bill, was, amen, consumed by the water. All of it. That's right. The wood, the stones, and the sacrifice. He did it 3 times. Here's what the Lord spoke to me in Ephesians 5:26. Let me give you scripture. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Here's what the Lord spoke to me. He said, we can be washed by the water of the word.
Absolutely.
Before the response comes. Hallelujah. But what happened in verse 38 after Elijah prayed? I'll tell you what happened. I'm almost finished, and then we're going to pray, because I believe heaven is going to respond in this house before we leave.
Thank you, God.
Verse 38 says, and the fire of the Lord fell. And the fire of the Lord fell. Here's the revelation. Heaven is getting ready to respond. How's heaven going to respond? With fire. Let me say it again. Heaven's getting ready to respond. How's the response coming? With fire. With fire. There's fire that's getting ready to come upon the people of God in this last hour. When the fire of the Lord fell, it consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood and the stones. And I never noticed it until I read it closely. Not only did it consume the wood and the stones, but also the dust. Which means every bit of it was consumed with the fire. And it licked up the water that was in the trench. You see, when you begin to look at it, the Bible contains over 500 references to fire. 90 of them liken, amen, unto the Lord directly as being fire. Fire is often seen as God in action, a blazing fire. The fire symbolizes God's self-sustaining power and his ability to preserve his people amid difficult circumstances. Genesis 15, let me give you examples. Genesis 15, God was a burning lamp and a flaming fire for Abraham. In Exodus chapter 3, he was a burning bush. In Exodus chapter 13, he was a pillar of fire that guided the Hebrews as he led them out of Egypt. In Judges 6 and 21, he was Gideon's offering that was consumed by fire. In Exodus chapter 19 and 20, lightnings and thunderings, which means flames of fire and torches. In Malachi chapter 3, he became a refiner's fire. In Matthew chapter 3 and 11, John begins to baptize believers in the river of Jordan. But he begins to give them a statement. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that comes after me, I'm not even worthy to stoop down and unlatch his sandals. John begins to declare that Jesus was the Holy Ghost baptizer. He said, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with
fire.
Acts chapter 2, the Bible said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were gathered in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. All of Jerusalem was there, hallelujah, for the feast of Pentecost. But what separated them in the upper room from all of the other nation, it was the fire of God that was on their head. Can I tell you that in this last hour, those that are branded by fire is going to stick out. In this last hour, those that are going through the fire, those that have the fire on them, how can I remind you that in the wildfires of California, it wasn't just the fire that was dangerous, but what made it more dangerous was the wind that would pick up the fire and move it to various locations and suddenly and unexpectedly. Can I tell you, the breath and the wind always precedes the fire. God will always send his wind and his breath before the fire starts blowing. And the Lord dealt with me. He said, tell my people, you're going to breathe again. Tell them that I'm breathing on them. Tell them that the authority. He reminded me. I said amen in two or three amen messages that I preached. But this is what he told me. He said, the same breath that I breathed into the nostrils of Adam, and Adam became a living soul, that breath had power to create. That breath had power to speak life and death. That breath had, it was the same breath that God had to be in control, to be in dominion. It's the same breath that Adam had. Can I tell you, we're about to get ready to have some respiratory amen therapy from heaven. God's about ready to put his breath on us. And what we speak, the enemy's going to have to listen to. And what we command is going to have to happen because of the fire and the authority and the breath of God that is on our life. Amen. Ooh, look at somebody and say, breathe in. Hallelujah. Breathe in the breath of God. Because he's breathing, because he's getting ready to send the fire. The wind, if you study it, amen, scientifically, the wind that came through made the atmosphere conducive for the fire to burn. It heated up, Brother Rick Hatlinger, the atmosphere. So that when the fire started burning, the elements, the atmosphere was conducive for it to keep burning. It is not God's will for the fire to ever go out. Mm-hmm. Oh, he'll send firefighters. He'll try to scorch it. Put your fire out. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, once we burn, we're going to keep on burning until Jesus comes and gets us. And let me tell you that fire is transferable. Which means whatever you touch is going to be branded. Whatever you, wherever you walk, is going to be branded. Whatever you speak is going to be branded. Look at somebody and say, I'm ready for the fire. I'm ready for the fire. The Bible tells us, amen, I'm almost to my last point. Amen. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 20 and 9, And also 23 and 29, Jeremiah was having a pity party. He said, I'm not going to prophesy again. I'm not going to say anything anymore. But Jeremiah begins to say, is not the word of God like fire? Shut up in my bones. He said, I cannot contain it. I cannot keep it quiet any longer. But he said, amen, I will not make up. Amen. They're great. They're right with me. Hallelujah. I then said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing that I could not stay. Amen. Jeremiah 23 and 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock into pieces? I've come to tell somebody, you can't quit now. His word is igniting in you. You can't stop now, because the fire's getting ready to come. Heaven's getting ready to respond. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire. This is a Hebrew word. It is a Hebrew name for God. That is Elkanah. Amen. K-A-N-N-A. Which means all-consuming fire. I'm here to tell you that Elkanah is getting ready to step into our life again. He's getting ready to consume us. Heaven's already made preparations. Heaven's already set it up. Heaven's already in position. But I'm wanting to know if there's anybody that has made preparations. You've built your altar. You've laid yourself down as a sacrifice. You've allowed the water of the word to wash you and to sanctify you and make you whole. Now you're saying, God, I'm ready for a response. God, I'm ready for the fire. Ready for you to move. You see, heaven is going to give an answer. How's heaven going to give the answer? He's going to send a fire. I believe Judah Tabernacle needs to get ready. The fire purifies. The fire strengthens. The fire destroys things that are keeping us in hindrance. And keeping us back. And as a fire, you're going to think I'm crazy, but that's okay because I am. But you have to love me because we're related. Hallelujah. We're all family. It's called the crazy cousin. Hallelujah.
Crazy brother.
However you want to call it. I don't care. Hallelujah. Here's what I believe, Sister Lori. That God sent in the fire. And that what separated us is going to be destroyed.
Come on. Jesus.
And the fire, what does fire do? It infuses.
Purifies.
It causes things. Amen. Jeremiah could probably tell you a little bit more because he went into a career of welding. Pray for his safety. Hallelujah. I'm a concerned daddy, but I'm proud of him.
Amen.
Amen. Let me pause and say, pray for me. Because I don't know how to raise an adult. I'm not going to embarrass him. No, I'm being serious, amen. While I'm at it, I'm going in a rabbit hole, but for you that have adult children and you've, amen, dealt with them, pray for me. Because here's what the Lord, somebody said that to me, and here's what my prayer has been. God, teach me how to parent an adult, because it's different. Amen. That was my prayer request, amen. Bring it before the throne. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But
it infuses, it strengthens.
I believe God is going to mold us together. Strengthen us. Because here's the reality. And I've said it before. I need you. I do. I hope you need me. But I need you. And I've had a lot of conversation lately with my wife. Amen. In the car traveling. But it's come to the point now where I'm like, you know what? We got to stick together.
Amen.
We got to have each other's back.
Amen.
We've got to, amen, make sure that we're on the battlefield with each other. Mm-hmm. When you hurt, I hurt. When I hurt, you hurt. If we've got differences, if we've got something, amen, that comes upon us, that causes us to have difference with one another, instead of us sitting and letting it fester, we just need to come and let's reason together. Let's come together as family and say, you know what, let's work this out. Let's talk it out. 9 times out of 10, when you talk it out, you realize it's not as big a deal as you thought it was.
Right.
Amen. And I say that for myself as well. Because I need you. And you need me, especially now.
Yeah.
And I'm praying that the fire of God infuses Judah Tabernacle together.
Amen.
That the fire begin. And here's the thing. The fire is going to send a signal.
Okay.
It's going to cause people to say, what's going on? The fire attracts. But lastly, what I'm going to say is when the fire comes, just like Paul, whatever you're dealing with, just shake it off.
Yeah.
Just say, no.
Not today.
Not today. I'm not the one.
Right.
Yeah. Shake it off. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. How many saying, I'm ready for heaven to respond?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Do you love the Lord today?
Yeah.
Are you thankful for the word?
Yeah.
Amen. Thankful. I love the Lord and I love you. Amen. I mean that wholeheartedly. Amen. I love you. Amen. I love our community, our family together. Praise the Lord. And I'm praying. But here's the thing. When God begins to move and answer your prayer, it blesses me.
Amen.
You need a shouting buddy? Call me.
Yeah.
You need somebody to jump and holler and hoop? Call me. Amen. FaceTime me. Amen. Facebook me, whatever. I'll run and shout with you. Amen. Because when God begins to bless you, it blesses me.
Amen.
Amen. It blesses because we're a family.
I love watching God move.
Amen. I love. Amen. Amen. I don't have my glasses on. I don't know who said that. Who said, I love watching God. It's the truth.
Yeah.
Amen. I love it. I had somebody tell me, amen. Tuesday night, the Lord gave them a word in the tent meeting that God was going to do something. And we went... we went Friday and Saturday night to support, amen, the other ministers that were there. And the person that we prayed for Friday night come up to me and said, you know what? I want to tell you what the Lord said. God's already starting it. I said, well, praise God. Long story short, his parents, he had not talked to his mom and dad due to some circumstances. And the Lord spoke to him and said, just be still. Don't say anything. I'll speak on your behalf. And he said, Brother Matt, he said, Tuesday, he said, after the Lord said that, and I come up for prayer, he said, don't you know my mom reached out to me this week?
Praise God.
Amen.
And she's starting to talk to me. And it's all, I don't know all the details, and it's a misunderstanding, and don't need to know. But when he said that, I thought, praise God. It blessed me.
Yeah.
Which told me, God, if you're faithful for him,
come on now.
You know the petitions that I have before you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We give God all the glory for those things.
Amen.
Amen. That are happening. Amen. People that are. Amen. I had a sister tell me last night that, amen, she got healed this week of nerve pain. That she came to church and her back was hurting with nerve pain. That she went home and said, wait a minute, my back's not hurting anymore. Because she felt the fire of God. Then she didn't have a word of prophecy or nothing. She just felt the fire of God and God healed her. And here's what I'm believing today before you leave. I know it's hot outside. I know it's a little warm in here too. But I'm telling you, the fire's getting ready to make it a whole lot hotter. If I believe heaven's getting ready to sin as they come to the altar, come to the pulpit real quick so you can come to the altar. If they need to come to the altar, they better come before they get to the pulpit. Amen. They know how I am. Hallelujah. As they prepare for this altar service, how many is ready for the fire to show up in your life? How many is saying, God, I'm ready. I'm ready. I need things to change. I need things to change physically, spiritually, emotionally. I just need a change. Breathe on me, God.
Yes, Lord.
Here's what I believe. And I say this with the authority of God. I believe that folks can walk out of here. I believe 115,000% that folks can leave here today healed.
Yes.
That you that walked in here today and you've got something going on in your physical body, that you can walk out healed today.
Yes.
I believe that. I believe today that you can walk out in courage. I believe today that you can walk out and things, amen, and people that are at odds, things can be mended. I believe that.
Yes, in the name of
Jesus. Because the fire of God,
yes,
is going to fall.
Yes.
I believe that the fire of God, I just feel like telling you this, Sister Dean. I believe the fire of God can fall on you. Today, that it impacts those that you are closely connected with. Those that are on your heart. I haven't talked to you for a while. Those that are on your heart today, that you love, that you're closely connected. Oh, my God, I'm sorry. You know, I'm not my son, but I'm a worship. You know, I'm a little bit of a home for me. You may not even be able to get to where they are. They may not even be close. But it burns your heart, and you pray, and you cry. You say, God, touch them. Move on them. The fire of God can fall on you today, my dear sister. God can move for your family and move those close to your heart. Amen. Let me tell you, she blesses them. Amen. Aren't you thankful for hope? She's an encourager. Amen. Be encouraged today. Amen. Let me tell you, thank you for being a blessing. Amen. Thank you for being a part of this family. Thank you. Amen. Amen. For being willing to be a sacrifice. Because the fire of God is coming down on your behalf, my dear sister. Woo! Glory! I'm going to get you out in just a few minutes, but I believe the fire of God is wanting to minister to some folk that are in this house today. If you're in this place today and you need to surrender yourself completely to God, if you say, God, I need to be a whole sacrifice, not just part of who I am, but I need 100% give my whole life to you. Amen. This altar's open for you. This altar's open for you. If you're in this place today and you're saved, but you don't have the fire of the Holy Ghost, and you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, this altar's open for you today. Lord, help me in this. Lord, help me in this. I'm not typically like this, so Lord, help me. I got to be over here. But Sister Mandy Goldman, I hear the Holy Ghost saying, I do not know any details. I don't know what you've been going through. But I hear the Lord saying physically, the fire of God is coming on the scene for you physically. I don't know what needs to be corrected. I don't know what needs to be mended. I don't know what the Lord needs to do. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you and Shane have faced in this season. I just feel it's a hardship. But I'll tell you, the fire of God's going to consume you from the inside out. And God's going to do the work. Somebody give him praise.